心了是吧？我是I'm getting to realize the difficulty of organizing this kind of discussion. The kind of the things that I thought I'd be, I'd like to be sharing with you has already been covered. And this is on all talks that they went before me. And try to keep some time for Adam. I just have to go through this kind of thing that I want to tell you. The work that I'm going to talk with you is done in collaboration with Cousin Phillips, who's down there. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to find the undergraduate, and in that kind of situation, the talks or the written text are the data that complex learning, and they sort of work in an assessment for the teachers as well as for the students in a formative assessment. But summaries are very often taken from those classes, but can be very misleading because when we ask our students to summarize a big chapter maybe, well, they come back with a very sort of different look appearance summary, which is done by picking up some initial statements, some middle statements, the concluding statement looks okay, but this misses the whole point that they may not be doing any work to do that to understand. So what we want to do, well, this kind of thing says that if we want to use those talks or the written text for the assessment data, then initial thing, which is done without those things, looks very similar to the kind of the desired outcome that we want to aim for. So what we really want to do is to go in between the process part and do something. So we went back to some of our previous work where we have been doing lots of process analysis on constructive interaction sessions, and three things may appear to be very highly relevant for the assessment purposes and also for the research purposes. People very often repeatedly barbarize the core concept. The core thing may not be the core in common, but for those individuals who want to deepen their understanding, they may not be sort of consciously thinking about those things, but they start saying those things before they come to realize that those are the things that they really want to focus on. And also, for those people to come to realize the importance of what they are talking about, before them, they lay out lots of different representations before them, so those things, exercise representations, are in front of them, so there are just some history behind them before people start taking advantage of those talks and reading out data for their own assessment. And also, this kind of thing entails that when a person is ready to take advantage of those summarized things, they have this vantage viewpoint to view the whole thing, how they have been doing and how they have laid out those things before them. So taking these are some points that we can start using to design some learning environments and as well as to start paying more attention to those points for assessment purposes. I thought we could do, we could turn the table a little bit to start using those basic research findings to apply to design a better assessment tool for us. So for formative assessment that I want to propose today, that the students could or should be given more chances to express their ideas on the same things repeatedly, and also students could or should have more and easier access to their own and others' presentations of their ideas, and students could or should be given chances to reflect upon broader scope of their learning. The context of my research is the undergraduate cognitive science classes, and this is not just a one class or the one course. This is a consecutive course, what we are calling a super curriculum, starts from the very first quarter semester to go into the second and goes on to the second year to cover to the third and fourth year. The entire learning objective for our undergraduate during the computer science course is for each student to be able to create an integrated model of human cognition so that they can control their own cognitive activities, including learning. In a sense that we want them to be self-contained, self-regulated learners. Our classes have lots of collaborative features, like lots of the jigsaws that we use with our piece of technology help. And the jigsaws can vary and different sort of codes. And one type of jigsaw, the very simplest jigsaw we use is on a sizable concept, like, this is very uncommon to psychology terms last year, like encoding specificity for one group and the depth of processing for the other group, or the knowledge reconstruction retrieval thing for the other group. So they can use those basic things and the other hand and jigsaw. For a larger part of the jigsaw that we give, not those concepts, but the papers which sort of contain those things, so we might have students read and call in the material, or the solving of memory piece, or the lots of papers, and we can actually have a book of these papers and these places, and they have to digest those things and come back and do so. And we also, toward the end of the second year, have a more complex and structured jigsaw of covering three topic areas, like intelligence and memory organization, or the representation of knowledge and so on, close by to make a matrix with our methodology used in cognitive science for the students. We divided into 12 or 15 groups to do a very complex jigsaw. With all the technology help, like a bidirectionally linkable shared memory system to do that. For formative and formative assessment in this kind of situation, to exemplify the kinds of things that we have tried to do is to give students more chances to express their ideas on the same thing. We have run some experimental classes on not aiming to cover very many topics, but have students concentrate on a single topic like wavelength selection task problems or the logarithm plot research pieces. So you can easily cover 10, 20 research pieces in there, but we cut down the numbers of the pieces for students to cover to 6 to 7 and multiple pieces and have them by groups repeatedly present to the class these kinds of summarization that they can make so that they can see that they can have the repeated chances to talk about the same thing as well as to get exposed to the other group's presentation. I really don't have any time to go and any details of these things, but just doing these things would be sort of serve the true purposes. Just those repetitions allow teachers or the first students follow the course of development of their summary expression so that we don't just get the initial and the final part, but we can go through those process parts so that, that we can start understanding how students would develop those ideas of rest of the students in the same class can follow the other group's development so they can take advantage of those things. And also for the assessment purposes, this kind of situation supports students to differentially decompose those pieces so because they get exposed to those differential decompositions. Which leads to a tryout of different structures. I haven't seen very often this kind of a decomposition and reintegration spontaneously done by students. But the great drawback of this kind of practice is that we really have to focus on the topics that they can cover, which is the whole same thing about this kind of thing. For formative assessment, students should also be given some chance to, or some easier and more access to their own and others' presentations. And we rely on some analog technology like those, or very complicated complex maps. This can be developed onto the technology machine, which can be loaded just to take some multiple or the multimedia documents onto the notes. It can be publicized on the web so that students can the other things. And also, we have been putting some city visualization in those things. Very good, to give you an idea of what's possible. This is the 3D use, so that you can select some of the nodes and pop them onto the layer or the right layer and to put onto the lower layer, and you can control the floor to change the view. So why is this kind of model representation we go to think? It gives us some hints on sizes and qualities of camps that students go to and recontact during the course of learning, which really helps them to start building some more decent learning models. And it also helps for the integration and decomposition strategies and with having different layers, so the students now can start having more chance presentation on one layer, and on one layer below, they can have those decomposed things, and on working on that decomposed layer, they can start making those components of the visual pieces or the reading materials. It's very hard for them to do before without this kind of help. And for formative assessments, to go to have students get chances to refresh upon the broader scope of their learning. This is kind of a resonating of the interviewing work that Microsoft invests into their work. So we have been trying to give some budget viewpoints to retrospectively refresh upon what they have been doing. Because we have these connected courses that we can interview junior students to reflect upon and talk what they thought that they learned in their first and second year. We have just decided to do this, and it's about the size of the 60 to 80 students, and for this on April trial, we just have picked up the 28 students out of those randomly assigned. And just interview them to 40 to 90, sometimes get them to our interview, and husband and I interview them on the question of giving them a very general sense of what you think that you have learned in the first year, kind of thing, to go down to giving more specific clothing as guides. And we have been analyzing this kind of tons of protocols on 109 items that we thought that we talked to them. Roughly, I just give you a very rough sort of an overview of the kinds of analysis that we have just decided to do. Those things that they say can be categorized into four things. We can try many different things, right? Just to give you this kind of view. Whether they are saying just some fragmental pieces, like a label of a item used in an experiment, or the name of the dishes, and so on, or they give us some rudimentary facts in sentence form. They may be wrong, but we can identify what they are talking about. Or they start connecting those pieces to make sense out of those things, or the beginning information that we might see. Just to give you an overview, I'm taking the 7 students who are sort of laid out in the car, and on the road are those some chunk of those out of those 109 items. This is how often the data mentions those fragmental pieces. And you can see that each student, varying from top student to mediocre to some other, had a hard time to catch up with the other students, type of students. We see that they can say something. If we move on to the rudimentary facts, they can still say something. They may be wrong, but they can focus on those concrete items, and particularly if they hit upon some of their interests, they can say things. But if we go down to one level, they, not very many students can start making relations, which we thought we were making, we were encouraging them to make, and also fairly few students can start integrating those materials. So giving those abundant viewpoints, they can say fundamental things, and some of the students refer to their version of coherent stories, so that we start hearing those individual stories that they are trying to make. It may just evolve if we continue this kind of work to have them talk and help them get those rich perspectives and evolve what they have gained now in their third year and fourth year. Some such stories show the primary levels of integration, which we can we should and then encourage more. And from the assessment point of view, the chances for such talks can evoke new connections. We heard in some of the students that they argued that they came to the realization on the spot of the interview. Oh, I'll now see why you taught that in that class and you covered the other materials in the other class. Now I see the connection. You know, that kind of thing. We really didn't have much chance to gather for our purposes of assessment, and also we didn't give chances for the students to reflect upon very much. So such talks can be reflected upon by the learners and the part of the students of innocent volunteers to transcribe those audio on tapes and came to realize that they could have said the things in a better way, and there are different ways the other students could say that. So towards the reliable models of comprehension in learning situation, I think that the fundamental term that the students, you know, say in on the spot at various different points appears to turn into a clear expression if we give them a longer time for learning. And this process can be different from individual to individual, so we have to handle those models to deal with this kind of thing. They are put in cooperative situations, but they are learning on their individual basis, so we have to deal with this individualistic aspect with the cooperative learning. And also involving students themselves in this kind of model building, because we are teaching common design thinking, may be a promising course for further learning. And I would like to turn my floor to Dr. Albert Hammond.